Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 142 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is Vex X. But today's guest is a local rock and roll celebrity. Ladies and gentlemen, please introduce yourself, Mr. Maz.
Well, Vex, it's good time we got together and done this, right? How long has it been?
It's been too fucking long, Mr. Maz. So Danny Maz, famous drummer, currently in the band Solo. Welcome to the podcast. Took you a long fucking time, man.
It did. I'm sorry. I apologize.
And then you were drunk at the show, and you're like, I'm going to come through on Sunday, bro. And then that didn't happen.
I wasn't coming on Sunday, but other stuff fell in front of it. So I just got to, you know me, man. I'm always doing something.
I do. All right. This is it. You never been on the show before?
No, first one.
When you were 12 years old, who were your top five musical artists?
Okay, 12 years old. All right, I can tell you a story. My mom bought me an old Panasonic cassette player boombox type of thing when I was 12.
Fucking awesome.
We used to sit out back, but she used to sunbathe. Anybody ever been by my mom's house knows she always sunbathes. So my whole thing was cassette tapes were the newest thing, and I finally got to listen to radio on my own.
Yeah.
Where I could tune in and did everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
We had MMR, we had YSP, and all the others. But to answer the question, the top five, well, I can't know in favoritism, but I can tell you the five bands I listened to was definitely The Police, was definitely The Cars, was definitely Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Ooh.
Yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd was big.
Do you know I was going to use...
Absolutely Van Halen. Absolutely, man.
Not Van Hagar.
No, Van Halen. Van Hagar wasn't even,
Yeah, I know.
But that's four. I'd have to say probably Zeppelin was probably my favorite classic rock band. Some people were into Floyd. I was more into Bonham.
Bonham can play, or could play, I should say.
And I wasn't even playing drums yet. I just started playing when I was 16.
Are you serious? That late?
17. Yeah.
Jesus, that's late. Yeah. You're supposed to start earlier, man.
No, I'm old. I'm done. I'm trying to retire. You know what I mean? I got my shirt on today. I don't know if you all can see it. You know what I mean?
The superstar
shirt on.
The superstar Galactica drummer.
That was me and Mr. Chambers.
That's not my fucking name. You know that, right?
Whatever you want to call yourself.
Vex Starscream, sir.
That was our last endeavor, which was very fun. I got to finally jam with my very good bud, Paulie Organ. Love you, Paulie.
By the way, Vince is watching this.
Is he really?
He really is.
Hey, baby. It was good to jam with you, too, my friend.
So, are you going to finish fucking recording these drums or what, motherfucker?
Yeah, man. Like, one thing about talking to Richie Parker at the Saturday night, it's like this, recording these drum tracks is like carrying a bag of cement up a wet hill of mud, man. Like, I just can't get anywhere. I keep trying. Come on, man. How hard is it? Plug some mics in, I beat up your shit and leave.
Well, go do it.
I talked to him. I talked to you, too.
Vince's parts have been done for 100 months.
I can imagine.
Paulie's parts are done.
Hope Richie didn't lose them.
My scratch track vocals, because of Richie cleaning them up, sound fucking awesome.
Awesome, man. Parker's my son. I love him.
So you got to go cut the fucking drums, man.
I'm ready. I keep talking to him. I talk to you. You're screaming at me. Then he's screaming at me. I'm ready to go.
And they're already paid for. That's the worst part.
I'm not worried about money. You know me.
I paid for all of this, and nothing's happening.
No problem at all.
I want to finish this. And I think it's like, Vince is watching. He probably knows the answer. Is it four songs, or is it fucking, I don't even know how many songs it is anymore. Is it four? Is it four or five?
I wasn't there. You recorded.
I know! But I feel like you would have discussed it in some capacity.
I'll smoke all that shit, dude. That was like my lately, of that type of music that Vinny was writing, man, was like total hook, total harmony. Everything came together really well. I had such a good time playing in that band. Down Emory Street, hanging out. After Emory, hitting bonks on the way home. Much better than that. Had Paulie with us. I mean, that was just epic. It was
number one. It's bunks. It's not bonks.
You call it what you want.
I'm from there.
I'm good, man. I'm good. All I know is cold beer and crabs every time.
Out of The Police, The Cars, Skynyrd, Zepp, and Van Halen, which one did you see live, or which ones did you see live?
The only one I went to see live was Van Halen at the Spectrum.
With Roth.
With Roth. That was like, I was a kid.
To Diver Down stuff?
I,
it's before 84.
Yeah, oh yeah, before 84. I was like, I forget how, I was like 12 years old or whatever it was. 82, somewhere in that vicinity. I went down with a bunch of friends, and this is a shout out to Mr. Tim Carney. Probably won't see this. But a couple months after that show, we went to go see Triumph at the Spectrum.
Okay.
It was like the first tour they came through. I was like, I didn't really know them, but I liked their music. So I was just starting to come in to start really playing.
Sure, sure.
I was playing, I think I was starting to play guitar at that time. But me and him hopped the bus, hopped the L. That's when you could do that back in the day.
Well, you take the L down. You can still do it. Take the L. Yeah. Take the L right to the fucking to go to the stadiums.
Six or eight people with me, bro. I mean, Philadelphia now. I call Philadelphia for a reason.
Well, we went Chicago's down. Way worse, just so we're clear, but keep going. I've been there. It's a very nice city.
We went down. Van Halen, I was there. I didn't really know what to expect. It was one of my first concerts. It was a gigantic spectrum, and everybody's smoking weed and drinking beer. I'm this little kid running around, my friends and all. And we went down, had a great time. My mom, if you watch this, Mom, you never even knew I went down there because you probably wouldn't let me go. But after that, I started hitting concerts regularly because that's such a good time.
Yeah.
So Triumph was probably my next memorable one. And we got tickets at Roosevelt Mall.
I can't remember
where. I used to sell tickets in like...
Way out. All right, the guy... Go ahead.
Tower Theater was another big thing.
Do you know who I fucking saw at Tower?
No,
Ozzy and Zakk Wylde together on the No More Tours for Ozzy tour in 91. No, I saw them at the Tower.
Oh, the Tower Theater.
Yeah.
Talk about Tower Records.
My friends did meet Zakk at Tower Records. That was a thing.
Yeah, they had a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that Tower Records was... That was a cool spot.
Do you know when fucking the day that Guns N' Roses came out with Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, I got on the bus with my friend. I was like 14 or 15 years old. We went to Tower on the Boulevard, and I got Use Your Illusion 1, Use Your Illusion 2, and Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears came out the same day. Did you know that? Wow. So I bought all three cassettes for like $30. Whoa, $30, right? And then I'm on my little Sony fucking Walkman on the bus on the way home, and I liked No More Tears better than the Illusion records initially.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the biggest Guns N' Roses that I know.
It's right behind me. There it is. But, dude, I love Ozzy, man.
Oh, Ozzy's big. He's the godfather, man. I mean, how can you not love him, man? Like, I first... here's another story. My mom and pop, I think they were still together. I split up when I was 16. There used to be Sears in the Chamonix Mall, and on the second floor, they used to have the record area.
Yeah.
And they didn't have records. Well, they had records and tapes.
Cassettes. Sears had one too.
I was wearing Sears, second floor. My parents were watching, walking around. I said, Mom, I'm going to go check out the music area. So I go in there, and there's Blizzard of Oz by Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
It's on cassette there. So I had no money. So anyway, I pick it up. I said, Mom, can you please buy me this tape, man? It's Ozzy. I love him. I think he's awesome. And my mom was like, sure, yeah, go ahead. My dad's like, you can't buy that tape. He is into the devil. I'm like, look at him, still pop. I said, he's lead singer of Black Sabbath, man. It's back in your day.
Like, literally, Black Sabbath kind of is the devil, though. So.
All right. So I wound up getting it anyway. My mom wound up sneaking it in her pocketbook and then paying for it.
Yeah.
In the bag.
Yeah.
Then when I got home, I could play as long as he wasn't home. So that was kind of cool, man.
Crazy Train was amazing.
A lot of Ozzy stuff. I mean, so many great guitar players. I mean.
Well, that, like, we could do...
Randy Rhoads, I mean...
Randy's the... And it's St. Randy, right? He's the guy.
He's
and then it's Jakey Lee. I'm not a Jakey Lee guy. I'm not a Jakey Lee guy.
I watch everybody for who they are. Like, Sam doing Starscream. The next guy doing this band. I can't think of his name. Crown of Earth. He's an amazing guitar player.
He is a great guitar player.
Saturday night, I had to go up to him like, dude, you just blew it up.
Yeah.
So I take everybody for who and what they are. But...
Pumpkin's a great guitar player.
Oh, yeah, Pumpkin's like, he does it all, man. He's the lead guitar player, right? Lead vocalist. Playing the hell out of everything. Those guys is a three-piece. You know, the three-piece are just phenomenal. Solo, the band that I play with, we've been in for 6 years now, guys. What do you think of that? 6 years, the same band.
You want to? So, the girl who became my third wife, one of our first dates was your first show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that one was Freddy's.
Yeah. That was a great show.
That
was a great show.
Absolutely crushed that. But, Solo, I don't know. As a three-piece compared to, you know,
you need,
it's just...
Meat Plow's fucking beast, bro.
We need another guitar player.
Yes, you do.
We talk about this all the time. We need a guitar player. It's very hard to find people right now. We've tried out, I don't know, multiple people, and this is not working out. And, you know, it is what it is. We're still having fun. We still come out and play a show or two. I'm hoping we go... in to record another disc, because to give Rob a lot of credit, he is writing some super hooky stuff, which is not like the other stuff we recorded. I mean, it's really good. I'm really happy with it. I'm hoping we can record it. I don't know what the plans are. I've talked to the boys, but I think, you know, it's good stuff recorded and have it.
You going back to Pierre, or are you going to go to Richie Parker's?
I don't know. It's up to them.
I don't know. I mean, Parker's kind of the man.
Parker's the man, absolutely.
I mean, clearly you can't get there to record drums, but it, for us mortals who get there, it's a good time.
I don't know, maybe he's 8 years old, you know what I mean? But one thing about Pier, man, like, I've recorded so much in that Hooptown sound, and that it's just, to be honest with you, it's just home to me. Like, I get in that drum kit, and it's his drum kit.
I know.
And he lets me do what I want, and he's not afraid of me breaking his shit. And it's just comfortable there. Like, I just perform or track the best tracks at Hooptown Sound. Like, I listen to the playback, I'm like, man, where did I come up with that? I don't remember myself doing that. But it's just the way it is, man. It's like just something that happens to me when I'm in that studio.
What's the best studio you've ever recorded in your career?
All right, back in the 80s, we had John Lovitch's studio. We're talking Face Crime. Yeah, Chris Carroll just said it. Face Crime.
You were the drummer in Face Crime?
Yeah, man.
I really didn't know that.
What do you mean? Face Crime, Vicious Circle? You
know what I mean? Well, Vicious Circle I know about.
We're playing all over the place with them guys.
He won't see this, by the way. We're not on talking terms, but yay.
But we're talking 87 or 88. We're up in Lovitch's studio. Snugfit Studios, I think it was called, if I can recall. I was 18. Never recorded shit. Went up there and just blew it up. I still have some of the cassettes for some of you old heads who probably know me for a long time. But for right now, I would have to say Tony Bertelli in Jersey has Mega Productions. I don't know if he's still around.
Okay.
Tony Bertelli did a lot of the early Beyond the Lies work. And his studio was amazing. It was dark. It was in a big room. Everything was black. It was just a couple lights on the drums. It was a very cool place, just how I like it. So I have to say Mega Productions was definitely one. Tony Bertelli is one of the best sound guys. He used to do sound in Pirate's Den, Detroit Wood Lounge.
Hold up. The Pirate's Den. Man. The Pirate's Den. I played there a million times, too. Yep. I was in Moonseed for 5 minutes. We played there. We were called Leroy Spoon. We played there a lot, dude.
I love that place. Tony was the sound guy. Cherrywood Lounge, too.
Oh, the Cherrywood. I've done that a couple of times.
Tony was the sound guy, so I would definitely say any club I've ever played.
Paul Lorcan just called you old man, just so we're clear. Nice that Paul's not working. He's watching our podcast. That's lovely.
I look good, buddy. You know what I mean? That's what I'm worried about.
Looking good's better than feeling good. Remember that. All right.
All right, favorite studio.
You just answered it.
Patelli's probably, because I've done maybe 2 CDs with him, but I got to give it to Pier for making me comfortable and all the discs I play there. And he just comes out with this look on his face after I lay some tracks down. I'm like, how was it? He's like, dude, you killed it. I mean, just to work with him is awesome, man. I really, really like Pier, man. He's a good dude, absolutely.
Now, in your entire musical journey of being a fan, which was the best live concert you'd ever seen ever?
Best live concert?
Like, your experience going to a show.
Have to be... That's a tough one.
Nah, you can give me a top five if you have to.
All right, I'm definitely going to give you Metallica Ride the Lightning Tour.
Jesus Christ, you saw that?
That was... Fucking phenomenal.
So you saw Cliff?
Dude, Cliff was... did I see that twice? We saw it downtown.
But you didn't know seeing Cliff would be so special. No. Until, you know what I mean? Because 86, he dies. On my birthday, did you fucking know that?
I was like maybe 15 or 16. I was 86. Yeah, I was there. It was amazing. Then we seen every Metallica tour after that. Just fine. I saw Seven Dust live.
I heard pretty amazing shit about Seven Dust.
A good friend of mine, Omar Marshall, opened up for that show. It was in Reverb in Reading. And
King Sam was there. He went to that show.
Yeah, Omar, he comes, you know, me and Omar Marshall. He is probably, absolutely, Vinny, I'm sorry, buddy, but I got to give it to Omar. I love you, kid, but Omar Marshall is probably the absolute, he's just a, probably the best guitar player locally. Now, he lives in Baltimore now, moved, but he was the best guitar player I have ever played with.
He totally fired me in 1996.
to this day, I mean, the guy is just amazing. His flow and the way he does shit is just amazing. So he's got my vote for number one. Vinny, you're like 1B, buddy. I love you. But I saw Seven Dust Reverb with a couple bands. Trivium was one of them. And that was recently, it was about 5 years ago. And Seven Dust just absolutely destroyed the room. Like, Reverb's a big place. It's open. There's a few bars. And, man, it was packed.
It is a great room. It's a great room.
And they just annihilated us, man. They were nonstop. I mean, that was definitely probably one of my favorite shows as of recent compared to what I'm
talking. Well, no, but I mean ever. So, so it's between Seven Dust and 86 Metallica.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of shows. I've seen Alice in Chains like two or three times.
Now, was Lean fucked up when you saw him, or was he like...
Oh, he didn't move. I mean, we saw him, I can't remember what year it was.
I've never seen Lane live.
I love Lane, but he basically came out, I guess it was at the Spectrum or the First Union Center, what the hell they called it, but he stood there with his glasses on, with a mic in his hand, for literally 45 to 50 minutes, and did not move. They were great. Everybody screaming, it was sold out. I mean, I've seen a lot of bands, man. But, yeah, they were probably, Tal could probably Ride the Lightning, definitely. Seven Dust, Reverb, that was an incredible show. I saw Slayer at the Tower. It was Slayer, Wasp, and Raven at the Tower.
Wait, what year is this with Wasp? What year?
This is, Jesus, God. Rain and Blood was, they came out.
That's 80s.
Slayer came out with two upside down crosses with, like, headlamps inside the crosses, man, and they came out in utter doom with all red and just blew it up. I was pretty shit-faced, if I can remember. I fell over a chair in front of me, and there was mosh pits going on, his body's flying. It was like...
For some reason, it's more important or special for me to have seen Wasp at that time, because Chris Holmes is still the guitar player.
Yeah.
And, like, they're both, like, 6'5". Like, Holmes is, like, 6'5", and so is fucking Lawless. So it's, like, these gigantic input... And they had heels on. They're, like, 7 feet fucking tall, dude. Yeah. Like... They were a thing.
That was a good show. I used to like to go to the Tower. I've been there a long time.
Paul Orkin wants you to burn your shirt.
What do you mean? What's the matter with my shirt? Hey, Paul, I made you look good, bro.
He still gets notifications from the Superstar Facebook page. He's very upset about it. Because people still like fucking click on it and shit.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Man. It's not quite dead yet. I'm going to find another guitar player. I didn't retire. You know what I mean? We're on a... What was it? A side project, Paul. What do you mean? We got together to jam, man. Me, you, Vex, got found Vinny. I didn't know Vinny. I knew Ascension Drive, wasn't familiar. And Vinny came up down in Emory, dude. Blew it. I mean, just absolute fabulous guitar player. Kid, I miss you all the time. I know I hit you on Facebook all the time. He's so easy to get along with. You know what I mean? It's like, the whole band was cool. I mean, the LBC show, we played that live down there. Thanks, Adam Kramer, for having us down. I think I set that whole thing up, but... I don't do drugs at all. I might have drank too many monsters that night because we were blazing fast. But it was intense, man. It was intense. And I wish, you know, Vinny would have played that show with us. But
he did perform that night. Ascension Drive played.
Yeah, I know. But that was a great time. Having both bands together, I blew up a hi-hat stand, completely shattered it. Vinny, your drummer, came up, helped me out. That was super cool, brotherhood type of stuff. The hangout afterwards was awesome. So anyway, Paulie. Screw you. You know what
I mean? All right. Adam Jones has asked you, what's your favorite Electric Factory show you've ever attended?
Electric Factory.
Isn't that where you laid the guy on the parking lot?
Oh, well, we used to play Whiskey Dicks constantly.
We all played Dicks. That was a thing.
That was a cool hangout.
You know, I was barred for life from there once.
I'm trying to think. I'm very disappointed when I hear Whiskey Dicks Electric Factory, because I was supposed to go see Typo Negative there. And I saw the shows, they came out with Orange Jumpsuits or whatever. I really wasn't a Typo Negative fan at that point in time. I thought they were kind of like, you know, obviously in their realm and doing their thing, and that was kind of cool and everything else. But later on in life, thanks to Leanne Wiedmeyer, bring her name up, she reintroduced me to Typo. And I just, obviously, man, Typo is just like, man, I own everything they have. I study everything that they did. And what an amazing band, like. I mean, in the last 5 years of my life, what an amazing band. It's too bad I fell in love with them way too late, but Electric Factory, I'm thinking, oh man, we've seen a lot of bands there too. I remember War played there one time. I think I was a little drunk on that night. They just meet in the crowd. Like, this is different, man. Like, there's like fucking meat coming, flying out in the stage. Like, Electric Factory, damn, I guess I saw a couple. I'd say, I guess Guar was probably the most unique show.
All right, I'm hijacking. Hold on, we're going to flip the camera. Electric Factory, you say? All right, Johnny Mack, who you know very fucking well, and myself, before we're 21 years old, in 96, Rage comes out with the Bulls on Parade shit. Remember that? Dunna, dun, dunna. Me and Johnny Mack together go. We're not 21. We go in the factory. We're not 21. We can't go to the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fucking mobbed. Like mobbed, right? We climbed the steel fucking post. And he's on one side and I'm on the other. That girder in the middle the left. And I look and they play Bulls and the strobes hit and 3,000 fucking people are just jumping. And it was amazing. That's the greatest show I ever saw in my life. And I saw fucking Velvet Revolver there before the record came out.
Really?
Yeah.
I miss Rage.
Rage was Rage, man.
I don't know what it was. I just could not get down to that. The Electric Factory concerts always seemed to fall on some weird circumstance where I couldn't get to the show, or I knew I had something going on.
You work a lot of weird shit, bro.
Well, I was playing a lot.
Second, I have a Whiskey Dicks fucking story because you brought up Whiskey Dicks. My first wife passed away at the end of 04. So in early 05, I had no fucking filter. I didn't give a fuck about anything, right? So we go, and I had heard a rumor that the weekend after we're playing Dicks, they're going to start having cover bands. And I'm pretty verbal about fuck a cover band. That's just my thing. It's what I say. At least I used to. So we go play the show. We get on stage. And it wasn't packed. Like, it wasn't like we used to play Abilene, where we kind of sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were a lot of people. So it wasn't packed. And we're playing. It's like Saturday night or some shit. And I get on stage, and in between the songs, they're tuning. And I'm like, I heard this fucking club's going to turn into fucking cover bands, man. Well, before that fucking happens, we're going to play. And we have a song called Over, which is like, you know, fuck a cover band. So we play the song. While Sam is soloing, the owner of the club fucking grabs me by the shoulder and starts yelling at me. And I stopped the song and I got the microphone and I walked onto his bar because he started to run away from me. And I'm like, what the fuck do you have to say? Rah, rah, rah. And then he's like looking at me and his eyes are breaking out of his head. And we have roadies, right? So the bouncers are coming to kill me because I'm standing on the bar with a live microphone in my fucking hand, right? And my roadie's like, don't touch him. He's cool. He's not going to fucking hit anybody. And they listen to the roadies, which made no fucking sense to me. And they back away. And I put the mic to him like, is this a fucking cover band bar? And he's like, no. I'm like, better not fucking be, rah, rah, rah. So, and then I look at the crowd, I'm like, you want us to fucking leave or finish our set? And they're like, finish your set. So I look back at him and I'm like, what do you fucking want? He's like, you guys can finish your set. So we finish our set and then we get barred for life. For life. Now, Abilene closes in the interim. Whiskey Dicks is still around. The dearly departed Derek, who was my dear friend, who owned Abilene, brokered me and the little bald guy from Whiskey Dicks to have a meeting. And we shook hands and made nice. And he was like, I'll lift the band. And they closed a month later. And we never got to return. So that happened.
It was an epic place to play when we were younger. Well,
don't say 218.
No, 218. I did that with Lifted.
That was a rough one.
That was a rough one.
A lot of stairs.
The place to go in the Northeast. And I got to bring this up for Rob. Definitely my favorite local band ever. It was a band from Longcrest called SDS.
I was talking about them last night because of you, but go ahead.
They're just like Doc and everybody. We were friends with them, and it was awesome, man. I mean, but we used to hang out at the Highwood Bistro. Bustleton.
They fucking we. Oh, fuck that. Story time, motherfucker. You want a story, goddammit? Okay. I go to see my friends from high school. You know Armin and Apathy, and they're called Stellar Belly. If you've seen them, you might know them. They're a great fucking band. They were my band in high school. Like, they were my boys. And then I left, and they got a new singer who's a much better singer, and they're still happy, and they're doing their thing. So I go to see them at the Bistro, and it's packed the fuck out. I'm this is a great place.
Hell
so
yeah.
I talked to Armin, who booked it. He gave me the number. I book Starscream, right? Or whatever the fuck we were called back then. The whole band rolls in. I brought my own sound crew. I brought my own lights. I brought everything.
Yeah, I had to
bring everything. And I pay people out of my own pocket. And then I'm like, oh, where's the money? Like, oh, you didn't negotiate any money. I'm like, it was fucking packed. They're like, yeah, but you didn't negotiate any money, so we're not going to pay you.
Man.
And I was like, fuck this place. Ah! And then I wrote like a million fucking emails about fuck this place. And someone wrote me, and they're like, you kind of can't say fuck this place. It'll like hurt your career. It didn't hurt my career, by the way. Fuck that place. And they're closed, too.
Oh, yeah, they got knocked down. That building's gone. There's so many places I played over.
I saw Heidnik play there. Remember Heidnik?
Yeah, I remember Heidnik. I mean, I've played like the Galaxy back in the day, 3 or 4 times. I don't even know if that place is still there. We used to play the Pennant East over in Jersey.
The Pennant.
The Pennant was great, dude. Like, there's so many great places to play. I mean, you guys are still playing Dodge.
Yeah, you better come in July, motherfucker.
What's July date?
23rd, I believe. Starscream at Dodge.
Me and Sam have a Camaro thing going on the 25th. Yeah. My way. So
fucking come to the show.
Probably seen a lot of you.
Maybe it's the 24th, then it'll be Saturday the 24th will be the show, and then the 25th will be Sunday, right?
I'll have to look at the date.
So will I.
July 25th, the National Camaro's up at Morgantown, up at the Auto Mall.
Well, I know where he'll fucking be on Saturday night.
So we'll be.
Yeah, there. No, it's July 23rd. July 23rd, Dobbs, South Street, Starscream.
All right. Well, I played there. Like I said, I missed the last couple shows. Working, shit going on during the weekends. And, I don't know, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, those are excuses.
Saturday, man. Saturday night's a solo night.
Well, you can come out one night and see us. Johnny Max playing. Gary! Oh, my God, here we go.
I see Pistol Razor play. So Gary's a good friend of mine.
Gary's returned to Dobbs, man. He was barred. He was not allowed in his own fucking club, right? He's back. Gary's returned to fucking Dobbs, and we got to book it. How excited am I? Pistol Razor, Gary, back at fucking Dobbs. You got to go. The 23rd. July 23rd, Dobbs, South Street. The last time I played in February, they were out the fucking door. And it was cold as fuck, and they were there. It was a beautiful fucking evening, bro. Go to Royale's playing, Fall of Achilles. It's going to be good times.
Try to get in there.
Try. There is no try. Do or do not, Mr. Maz.
Take it easy. I'm an old man now. Don't beat me up. But I do appreciate you guys, man. Like I do. Gary Rumpf, man, he's a good friend of mine, dude. I've watched him play. How many times have we seen him play, man? I mean, all over the place. Last time was I got on stage with him was at the Fire, and I jumped up for a little Rage Against the Machine backing vocal. I was notoriously called up to do. We used to play the Red Stallion, which is gone. Other places.
Well, no, it's not gone. You don't know that, do you?
I know that, but there's no music there.
Yes, there is.
What do you mean?
There's fucking bands there.
It's got to be cover bands. I don't know.
I feel like if I went there, we could have a night because she's long gone. People say bad things. She was always all right to me.
Yeah, Stacy's okay.
She's all right to me.
She's all right. No problem, Stacy.
But there's a lot of people who do. But she's all right to me.
But whatever, man. We'll play. Like I said, I think solo for Saturday night, I'd like to give them guys a shout out. We practice at Hoge's or Richie's, which is, I don't know, 80 yards away from each other. But as a three-piece, I think we played pretty well Saturday night. Now we're screwing with all kinds of like little covers and stuff like we did Cars cover.
The Cars cover was pretty cool. If you had a second fucking guitar player, it'd have been cooler.
We just started playing that, so Rob called it out on stage. I'm like, well, it's easy to play. People like it because they can sing along a little bit. So, you know, we did it and it came out fine for what it was.
Rob's a good singer. People sleep on that.
He's gotten better, man. I've been in bands with Rob since 2002 or 3.
So do you want to tell the twisted story of Lifted now that person's no longer in my life and we can tell truth between us?
Oh, man. That band, first of all, I have the show. Thanks again to Tony Bertella. You'll probably never see this, but I have a show that we videotaped. It was live, the Pirate's Den. Tony was doing sound. Me, Mr. Brandis, Omar Marshall, and Jimmy Coakley, who was the second actual singer of Lifted.
Where the fuck is he at? He fell off the planet Earth again.
It's Jimmy, man.
Went into a bottle. Is it over?
I don't know. I love Jimmy.
He can sing.
Jimmy's good, man. I remember my birthday party came up and did STP with Sidearm.
I remember.
Crushed it. Like, walked in and just crushed it. Like, never jammed with them dudes before. I did Van Halen. Never played with them before either.
But, dude, they're pretty great musicians.
Insanely good, man.
Yeah, I like Sidearm.
I'm sure you're friends with Bobby on here?
It's fucked up because I was, and then my Facebook got locked out.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I lost a lot of people.
They're good dudes. They got their own thing. Like, they always invite me to stuff and stuff like that. You know, I just appreciate the musicians.
But they lost their gig for a long time for that pandemic shit. So they weren't out for a minute. So it's good to see them playing.
Now they sent me their list back in May. They are booked every weekend, 3 days a week, all the way till next October.
Well, that's their job.
They're in Carney's down in Cape May, and they're all over the place, man.
They play some shitty places though. They go for the money. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I don't want to live that life.
Well, like the E House down in Ben Salem is the best place to see a band because there's basically no place for a band to play except on the floor.
Exactly.
But when they go there, they make the place, you know, they make the place rock. Man.
Is the Roadhouse back or is it still fucked?
I don't know.
Because it burnt down.
I don't know. I'll go see them. You know, I'm cool. Like.
We saw them right before the whole thing kicked in with your ex and my ex. We went to fucking Whiskey Tango. Remember that night?
Yeah.
Right before the pandemic bullshit kicked in. It was like 2 minutes later.
Yeah, man. That was a good time.
It was a great fucking night.
Yeah, man. We had a lot of fun, man. I remember I played the Whiskey Tango. It was John's Bora Bar and Grill, and the name shifted like 16 times. That place used to be a really big room with a high stage in the corner, and everything came out. I think John was sound guy.
When it was John's Boardwalk, it was the spot.
Yeah.
Every weekend, that was the spot.
And it's funny, Sweeney's got the overflow of John's. Remember? Oh, yeah, that's how busy John's was.
Jesus Christ, it was a play there about.
They finally. Oh, so listen, that evil sound guy's dead. I don't know if you know about that. He's dead.
I know he passed away.
They built the stage out and they got lights now. It's like really nice there.
It probably is. I liked playing there, but I never got in an argument with Art.
No, not an argument, but the fucking. You, if you were an original band and you walked in Sweeney's, he didn't acknowledge your existence. So we just brought the biggest amps in the world and we're like, it's cool. You don't have to fucking mic anything. We're fine. Boozdy, boozdy, bop. And we were fine.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it, man.
But if you don't bring in huge amps back then.
He's getting paid. Like, he wouldn't even, you couldn't even hear anything out there. It was, and that's a good room. I mean, you could hear the vocals, but nothing else. Like, the drums were never mic'd. I mean, you could hear them faintly in the distance. I should have beaten the piss out of him. I looked at the dude. I'm like, yo, man. I'm like, you know what I mean? We're not getting paid for this. We're filling your house up. We bought 30 people who are heavy drinkers who are going to pound your bar. Not let alone there's other three other bands that bought people. So why just can't give us a little bit of a sound system in here, man? Yeah. No disrespect to the dead, but Art, man, he was terrible. All he cared about was, like, no respect to anybody else because AJ Slick's a good friend of mine. But if AJ played there, Michael Comp and them guys, I've seen AJ and Mike and all them play there. The sound is, like, glorious, man. I feel like I'm in a Spectrum.
Well, that's who we would do sound for, was the tribute and cover bands.
Go down there and play. It sounds like I'm playing in a cardboard box.
He didn't want you to come back.
Discrimination, man.
He didn't want you to come back.
I don't know if that's legal or not.
I just can't believe he died. Like, the worst. See, if you were in a cover band, he's like your bestie.
Oh, absolutely.
But for people like us, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The fucking bane of my existence. But I didn't care. Oh, my God. Here's a fucking story. Remember that place, Finnegan's Wake?
Yeah, of course.
So underneath, Heather May was booking. It was pretty cool, that whole fucking room. We played the upstairs once, which was really awesome, actually. But, you know, we got the downstairs where mostly you were as an original band. So we play, and they had a female sound engineer. And I'm not sexist. I want to stress this. This is not a sexist thing. And she was like, well, when you guys play, you're going to turn your amps towards the wall. And I just fucking laughed. I was like, yeah, no. Not going to happen. And remember, like, Thomas the Giant Roadie?
Yeah,
he's putting the fucking gear up. With
I love
the...
it, Tommy.
No, no, no. He's going a year. Where the fuck have you been? He called me.
He's been going
call me a racist and shit.
He called you a racist?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Yes! I remember. So, anyway, back to our story. I'm watching Thomas turn the fucking amps. I woke up, I'm like, I pay you. Turn those fucking amps around. So he turns them all around because it stacks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she walks up, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we're not doing that. She's like, I told you. I'm like, yeah, yeah, we're not doing that. I don't care what you said. I don't care. This is not happening. And I just walked away from her. And her big threat is, I'll turn the vocals off. We don't give a fucking star scream. If you can hear the vocals. And that, they got no power. I got Marshall stacks. We fucking win.
You know, being that that's on the table now.
Yes.
Many a times, dozens of times. Now, me and my ex, we go downtown to see you guys play upstairs at Woolly Mammoth.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
Dear buddy, Mikey Prima Donna. Love you, buddy. Love you. Always a good time with Mikey. Too bad he works down there. If he worked in the Northeast, I'd be there all the time. Probably one of the best bartenders to go out to see some local bands and have Mike behind
But that club, that club's not running anymore.
I
but
know,
go ahead.
But Mikey was the guy. Anyway, point being, we got to see you guys play. We're having a good time. I was hugging some beers and everything else, and everybody's watching the band. And I always complained because the bass and guitar were extremely loud, which is fine. Because back in the day, it had a bass player. I can't remember his name offhand. And then, I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, bro. I mean, I'm like friends with everybody, dude.
There have been a lot of bass players. Don't worry about it.
Then we have Sam, man. Greatest guitar sound. Full stack. I mean, awesome sound. And then there was another drummer guy. I can't remember his name either. Let me go back a few drummers now. One, two, you know. But it was so loud, even if they had him mic'd, you wouldn't be able to hear him. And then you can't hear you either. I'm like, dude, like, I'm trying to sing along with you, bro. You know what I mean? But I'm getting air vocals, man. Like,
so why is it our fault that their PA systems aren't loud enough?
I understand.
My PA system right over there that I bought online at Amazon is loud enough. So you're going to tell me the equipment doesn't fucking exist? Get
no,
the fuck out of here.
I'm
get the
saying,
fuck out of here.
As a live band.
Paulie plays so fucking loud at practice, the glasses rattle off my shelf here. So I got to take them all out, and I got to put them on the counter, and they still rattle. The other fucking day, Paulie was so loud, a drink by King Sam's fucking amp just topples the fuck over from Paulie.
Paulie, baby.
Like, if you look, there's two Ampeg 810s there now. Paulie's rattling the fucking house, man. It's a fucking thing. And then Sam's got to compete with that, which I understand. So we bring in some Marshalls. Boozy, boozy, bop. But whenever we toured a lot. We toured a lot. And they would say the same thing. Like, you can't play Marshall full stacks in our bar. If you do, I'm going to turn the vocals off. We don't care. We're not there for the vocals. No one's there for the vocals.
I'm there for the vocals.
Nah. They're there for King Sam, and I'm okay with that.
Man, some of your... A lot of the material that Starscream's recorded, I think I have all the discs on that wall.
There's four now, but we're working on five. Go ahead.
There's really some good, phenomenal musicianship across the years in that band. I mean, there's been multiple phases of that band, and so much good material on all those discs. Like, you cannot just put one in and say, okay, this is my favorite, because this will have two songs they absolutely love. Then I'll have this disc with two or three songs I absolutely love. You just can't pick. I can't pick a favorite disc. I mean, I did Fire and Alcohol.
No, but yours, that's yours. That's the one you love. That's your disc.
I don't know what it is. Sam's in a band anyway, so that combination of the people in that CD.
But here's the thing.
You can feel the combination music between Sam and everybody else in the band.
But here's what's up.
The drummer was phenomenal.
There's two drummers on that record.
It could be four drummers.
It's split. There's two drummers on that record.
Phenomenal drum work. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. That CD, maybe that's reason why I usually lean to that CD.
Yeah.
And there's a couple songs which I play for you in my truck when I'm going home from work. But the musicianship on that CD, I'm not saying it's not going to be anyone's better than that, but I heard that CD and automatically made me feel the music. I'm like, man, this bass player is killer. The drummer's sick, man. He's doing these cut stuff like I do. Like, I used to be a blast thrash drummer, and I'm sure Eddie Stradlin, if he's out there, is like, how come you don't play that fast, brother? They just don't do it anymore, bro. I mean, like 50 some years old. Now it's about hooks and cuts and different stuff like that. And that, the drummers, both drummers on that CD were just, that's my playing style. That's my playing style, man. I'm not all about blast beats and doing Nile type double bass work and all that stuff. It's about being in a pocket and punishing the drum kit.
There you go.
Every time. When I come out to play, I play for my friends, but I also come out to make an impact in the band. And I have to do that now solo, even though the band's great. We need another guitar player. We need more fullness, more punch. And
Hoge is such a thunderous bass player that if you don't get another guitar player, you're never going to hear Rob again. Because yeah, the bass is with power, man.
One thing about Hoge, playing with a lot of other bass players that play a lot differently, and I won't mention any names from people in Mayfair or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? But Hoge is a flowing, harmonic bass player.
Yep.
Okay? And it fits the drumming and everything else. He hits the right notes at the right times, and it works. And Pierre knows that. I've played with other bass players who are just freaking awesome, but they're more of a lead bass player. I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to piss anybody off. But I also like playing with them because they would drive me to put more fills in because they're filling at the same time.
Can I tell you something blunt, to be honest with you?
Bass...
Overdoing it's still overdoing
it. Simplicity is
solid. Like there's something in there. Oh, like absolutely. When like in our band, for instance, we have a really busy guitar player. So if you have a busy bass and busy drums, it's pretty it was hard. And then making weapons was hard because of that, because it was very busy. So you try to, you know. But we still like busy drums, I'm not gonna lie. It's kind of our thing. We stole fucking Vinny's drummer. You know that, right?
Yeah.
They let him go first, they're fuck up, but we swooped in.
Like the kid, man.
Come join the Starscream army.
Good drummer is solid. I'm going to come out and catch a show live. I've seen him, you know.
July 23rd, right. Dobbs, South Street, South Street, South Street.
Oh, man, going back down there, and it's a new day and age down there, bro.
Actually, I'll be honest with you. This is important. I want to address this immediately. It's pre-disastered, okay? The badness that happened on South Street, which did suck, and it's very sad, already happened. Now, I'm going to give an example. I live in Somerton, okay? A block away from where we're sitting. On Friday night, actually, I'm going to start at the beginning. 2 weeks ago, I was out at my garage working on my shit, and a fucking BMW down the street, like fast, right? So I get out of the fucking driveway, and I'm like this, right? And this kid's like, rah! And he drives away in his black BMW. He killed an off-duty cop Friday night.
Really?
He did. Right at that intersection. So, over the weekend...
I think I heard about that.
It was fucking gnarly. He was in his mom's BMW, and he killed some cop, which is sad. It's really fucking sad. So over the weekend, and this is Somerton, there's never any cops. I saw 10 people pulled over. 10 people pulled over on Bustleton for speeding. What Philadelphia does is that bad thing happened on South Street, which did suck. The rest of the summer on South Street, you're safe. There's a million cops, and it's not going to happen again. Money was interrupted. Commerce was interrupted. People were scared. If you come to the city of Philadelphia, you're going to go to South Street. So it's protected. So for the rest of this calendar year, for this summer, pre-disaster, it's going to be safe down there. July 23rd, Starscream, Boosty Boosty Bop, Pistol Razor, Fall of Achilles.
Are you carried?
Go to Royale. Oh, you can't walk away. Our guest is taking a bathroom break, which is fucking weird. And normally we would pause it, but we're Facebook Living. So, Facebook audience, how are you today? All right. We didn't let him go. He left. He didn't leave. Dude, when he was like, listen, I'm going to leave the band. This is to you, Vince, by the way, having a personal dialogue. There was a band called Ascension Drive, and the drummer was a little fed up with the situation at hand. And he said, hey, I think I'm leaving. And you guys were like, okay, bye. He's a really good fucking drummer. I know this because he's currently the drummer in Starscream. So he should have, like, maybe, you know, did a little bit more like, hey, stick around. I mean, I'm to the point in my age, like, if you want to leave, fucking leave. Good luck. But still, we try to, like, massage the situation. If someone wants to leave of their own accord, why do you want to leave? What's your beef? Maybe we could fix it. Boosty, boosty, bop. But that's the situation. Again, another fucking ad read for you. Hey, Paul Orkin. Starscream, July 23rd, South Street, Dobbs. It's been pre-disastered. It's going to be safe now for the rest of the summer. Come see Starscream. Go to Royale. Pistol Razor. I'm sorry. Pistol Razor and Fall of Achilles. Say Pistol Razor 10 times fast. I bet you fucking can't. It's like a thing. Pistol Razor, Pistol Razor, Pistol Razor. That's three. Pistol Razor, Pistol Razor, Pistol Razor. Oh, that's six. Pistol Razor, Pistol Razor, Pistol Razor. Nine, Pistol Razor. But I took like a break. The kids say hello. Yeah, Vince, hello to your children. Keep having babies. Can I have another one, or is this it? Are we done? I'm putting like a fucking stoppage to the Vincent fucking DNA going out into the world with children and whatnot? I wonder. As we are recording this, today is June the 27th. It'll go live in about 2 weeks on the app, but you guys can watch this video at any time. Hey, Maz, welcome back. Did you wash your hands, Maz?
Of course.
What is that thing you're drinking? What the fuck is that?
I don't know what it is. It's kind of like a tradition to come over here, because when we used to practice here with Vinny and Paulie, I'd come over here after working all night and be shot in the ass, but I'm so exhausted and I have to play all this crazy Superstar Galactica stuff. So,
it's a monster.
And Yana used to yell at me, that's gonna...
Dude, it fucked up Sam. It's a bad thing.
All right, I'm all okay, man.
You're gonna get gallstones. You're old man.
That's right, gallstones.
That's real talk.
So, it's tradition to come over here, and I have to stop the Wawa down the way just to...
Water, people, water.
Just to get a couple of these things just to bring in here. Because usually before practice, I had to get pumped up before we played. Or so I would drag. But now, it's just, I'm going to Vex, I got to get Monster... Even if I came over for a barbecue and we weren't doing shit, I'd still probably pick up Monsters just for the traditional value of drinking it.
Can I finally lock you in for New Year's Eve and you'll actually show up? The crazy guy's not here anymore with the beard. That's not a thing.
Who?
You don't remember? Your last relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember the guy with the beard?
Magnus?
Oh, we don't say that word.
Let me explain you something about Magnus.
We don't say that word.
I say it. I'm going to tell you what. I don't not come over here because of that little fat motherfucker. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Because I have no fear of that dude.
I didn't say fear, but who wants to be in a weird situation?
Oh, I just knocked him the hell out. You know what I mean? It's no problem.
But that year, someone got knocked out after you left.
I'm not fighting in your house either. But that dude, I'm glad he got exited from the group, okay?
He's been...
Multiple people kept saying all these bad things about Cuz, and I'm like, I don't even know Cuz. I don't know. And then the ex was telling me about what the hell she was going through, and then eventually you were going through. That dude's just... Bad, dude.
Like, did I tell you what happened with me? Like, you know why he's been excommunicated?
Multiple times.
Oh, girlfriend. The girlfriend. That was enough for me.
Dude, that's just bullshit.
That's my girl. What the fuck?
That's just bullshit, man. I don't. That dude's like drama, man. He's like a bitch, dude. Really, for real.
Anyway, my point is, can you just come on New Year's Eve this year,
it's
please?
My birthday, and I'll do the best I can.
You always say that.
Well, what happens is there's 19 people saying, yo, man.
I booked you in June. It's fucking June, bro. I'm like, hi, it's June. Can you please come back to this address for the New Year's Eve spectacular where you'll see live Starscream playing rock and roll? And you're like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'll try.
We'll try to get over here.
No.
What, I had to go downtown.
You don't like downtown.
I hate downtown.
So why would you go? This is a nice, beautiful area.
A
lot of room, free liquor as far as the eye can see.
Everything about, and I grew up here, the only thing wrong with like trying to get here is like there's a million stop signs every 50 feet.
I know.
That's why everybody's brakes go bad. Bro, I had a red truck. Of course, you remember my red truck.
Very well.
I didn't put brakes on it for 7 years.
Until you came back to Somerton.
Yeah, it's Philly in general, but, you know, hey, and just think, people actually pay taxes for this stuff. I don't get it. But it is what it is. Anyway, I'm just busting balls.
No, I'm happy where I am. I'm not going to lie to you. If I told you the value of the property you're sitting in, you would die.
Oh, I can only imagine.
It's astronomical.
I can imagine.
And then I'm not going to lie to you. It crossed my mind. I was like, if I sell, I walk with this many hundreds of thousands, right?
Yeah.
But then where do I go? Where do I go? So here's the plan for real. Oh, here we go. Story time with the Vex on Vex podcast. Episode number 142. Here's what I think I'm going to do. I might work 10 more years for Philly restorations, right? I'm going to do maybe 10, maybe a little long. I'm thinking 10. 10's like the magic number. Sell the company outright to a different company because my client list is pretty...
Client list is important.
I have a client list. I have a really good one. So sell that to somebody else. They can have my fucking name. They can have the whole fucking thing. I sell the house. Between that, I'm walking with a sizable chunk of money.
Huge.
So I might go down south, like Myrtle Beach, and I could get a condo for a fraction of what I paid for this.
Absolutely.
On the fucking beach. And that's it.
Absolutely.
And that's it. And I could go, like, I could be like, did you ever watch Breaking Bad? I could be like, Mike, I'll go sit at the fucking thing. I'll be like, yeah, come on in and let the people through the fucking thing. Get a part-time job at Kinko's, something stupid. And that's it. I'm done. Just going to fucking chill. Be an old man on the beach. Because I love the beach. The taxes aren't astronomical. You can You can have weapons down there. It's like a nice thing. Like, it's...
Whoa, weapons. What do you mean? I'm careful what you're saying. America.
Yeah. It's still the Second fucking Amendment, technically. I'll tell you this. All right. I'm not political, and we're not going down this rabbit hole, okay? But the thing that happened last week, when they take rights away from Americans, I don't like that shit. That's all I have to say.
Any rights.
That's all I have to say. Any rights you take away from an American, I got a fucking problem with that shit. That's it.
Another thing is about... Now, I'm going to leave it at this. When you take rights from Americans, that's both Democrat and Republican.
And
so it doesn't matter which side of the table you sit on. If they're taking them away, they're fucking us all.
That's a fucking problem.
And that's it, man. I'm done with it. That's exactly how I feel.
Did you ever see the revamped version of Skinner Live?
No.
They're back. Would you go? Would you go see it? With the little brother singing?
The little brother singing. I think there's...
he's good.
Left. There's one person left in the original lineup. I got to go through the list.
Well, no. I can tell you something if you care about it.
Because anybody left.
No, hold up. I can tell you some shit if you want to learn. Okay. Remember the band The Strawberry Alarm Clock?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's the 60s. It's before our time, okay? They had a hit. They were in the movie Valley of the Dolls, okay? Bear with me. So The Strawberry Alarm Clock is featured in the film The Valley of the Dolls. They're the background band. They had a hit. Peppermints and some shit. I don't know. If I played you the song, you fucking know it. But then at the height of their thing, they had like infighting and drugs, and the guitar player leaves. He met Leonard Skinner before they're fucking famous, and he has a little bit of money and he's a little bit famous, and he goes in and he joins, and he's the third guitar player in Leonard Skinner. He left the band right before the plane crash because Ronnie punched him in the fucking face when he was drinking.
Really?
And he was like, I am not from the South. I am from Los Angeles. Do not punch me in the face. And he left. And he's still alive. So a guitar player now they had a falling out. So the curly haired guy is the last one. You know what I'm saying? But there is a guy. And there used to be a rule of three. So the original bass player stayed in the band. The original guitar player stayed in the band. And then they had one of the drummers. They had to have three people in the band at all times to keep the Leonard Skinner name, which was like the fucking thing with the agreement with the ex-wife. Or I'm sorry, the wife of late Ronnie Van Zant.
Right.
But she let that go because she likes that money coming in from the tour.
Oh,
so really it's down to the one guitar player with the curly hair and the little brother singing. And technically they've been Leonard Skinner longer than Leonard Skinner was.
She owns all the rights to all the music, doesn't she?
Well, his parts of it. Yeah.
You all right, man? What time you got?
We're good. It is only 1:59 in the p.m. You have 12 more minutes left of Facebooking.
12 more minutes.
On the Vex on Vex podcast.
It's nice to be here.
It's good for you to fucking show up. And we didn't really get in that bad of trouble. We didn't fucking say too many things at his fucking school. So yeah, fuck it. The 1 year anniversary is coming up. You guys ready? Today is June the 27th. My mortgage is paid on the 14th of the month. After the person who used to live here did not pay his end. I paid the mortgage on the 15th, and I got in my car, and I drove to his job, and I was like, hello, I need my key back, you know, clearly you don't live here anymore, and he got very upset, and we had a whole thing, whatever, I got my key back, I left. He lied initially, he's like, I don't have your key, it's at the other house I stay at, and then I saw his bag, and on the bag was my key, I was like, oh, is that my key on your bag, and he went, uh-huh, and he gave me the key. On the ride home from getting my key back, the bass player quit because of that. He quit.
Sure, I remember that. Yep.
And that's a year ago now. Yeah. It'll be in 2 weeks. It's a fucking year. And here we are. Paul Larkin playing bass.
Holy baby.
Good fucking bass player. Really? I got no complaints. And since then, that other guy had a baby. Good for him. It's for real. Good for him.
Oh, yeah.
All the luck in the world to you. They're expensive. You'll see. And that's where we are.
One person I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Johnny Zero.
Oh, Johnny Zero.
Johnny Lott, man. He's a really sweet guy, man. Hell of a guitar player. I've already seen him play once or twice.
Okay.
But he shreds. He's such a sweet dude.
You want to call him?
No, I'm good. I mean, I don't need to call him, but...
Oh, we can call him.
Just tell him I said, what's up, if he watches this. I'm always friends. He's a sweet guy. It's kind of like the kind of guys I like to hang out. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's a lot of... One thing about playing in this area, most of us are all cool with each other. Especially me. I don't try to make enemies with musician friends of mine. I mean, I don't see the point. But another problem is I play with everybody, too. So I'm going to cross paths with them again.
You're the diplomat.
I'm not the diplomat. I'm just a guy.
You're the diplomat.
But
I want to think I'm diplomatic. I'm not, though. I'm like very Russia. Like, I burn it to the ground. Like, oh, you're out? Let's burn it to the ground! That's, you know.
I just keep, like... Even with, yeah, we did our thing with Superstar. I'm sure it might be something other coming up. You know, I'd like to play with Sam at some point in time, for Christ's sake. I've known him for a pretty good bit now. He's probably one of the only really insanely great guitar players I haven't played with.
Off microphone, I'm going to tell you a fucking story about that.
Okay.
Because it's going to make it's bad. It's sad.
It's sad?
It's sad. I'm going to tell you a story.
All right, we're good. You know, whatever. I'm not a sad guy. My life is good, man. I mean,
You have your day job you've had for a long time.
I hate it, man.
What are you going to do next? I know where you physically live. Like I told you, my back end plan. What's your back end plan?
Okay. So, I work for the U.S. Navy, making stuff that blows countries up. I'm not going to go further than that. I've been there 23 years. I make an immense amount of money. I have an immense amount of vacation time. And I have to travel from where I am now to here to work because I feel as though you live where you want to live and work where you got to work. Well, other than that, my plan... I would like to leave this place, and I'd like to get a job out by me for the next 5 or 10 years. This way, I don't have to come down and travel and shit like that. I don't have to come down, you know, I just do what I want. I do have a lot of roots down here, so I'm kind of torn between leaving the job and spending more time up at home.
Would you cohabitate with your current friend?
Of course.
So yeah. Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
Jeez, it's definitely a thing. If you're watching it, you definitely say. Yeah, she's...
But that means you're going to be back around here.
That's another thing that's, you know, keeps me here is you guys, the bands. I mean, out my way, we used to have the Chameleon Club, which I loved. I saw Blackstone Cherry there. They completely blew the roof off the place. Bill McGarity, I think, was there. Darlene was there. Who else did we see? I think we went to meet a couple other people at the Puddle Mud Show there. But all those clubs out there are closed. There's a few, but they're impossible to get in. So everything's still here for the bands, the girlfriend, the bands, the job. So I really have no choice but to keep coming down. So you're lucky to have me.
I'm telling you, when I'm done, I'm going to vanish. I'll never be back. I'm done. When I leave, I leave.
I can't. All my friends left here, man. Russ, I don't know if you're going to watch this. Jason Weaver just moved to Georgia, man. He packed up his family and said, I'm done with Jersey. I'm out of here.
The taxes are astronomical in Jersey.
Jeez, all of them. A lot of people. Mo, you left too, man. I mean, these people are just leaving, like going down south, man, buying big properties for cheap and
yeah,
living
and calling it a day.
Calling it a day.
Yeah.
Nice little job, have big property, no neighbors, no problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No public transportation, no problems. You know what I mean? Gotta get out in the open space, man. Because one thing I realize is being out where I'm at now, thank God for the Amish and the Mennonites, because they will never sell their ground.
Ever.
Doylestown, for example. Absolutely has grown tenfold.
But it's beautiful. Doylestown's beautiful.
It's still beautiful.
I like Doylestown.
Things are growing.
I don't want to live there.
I don't want to.
For me,
it's too yucky for me.
It's too far in my brain. Like, if nothing else, I'm 20 minutes from Center City. If I get to 95...
20 minutes from Center City in what, a helicopter?
Bro, I get to 95.
Bro, have you been on 95, bro?
I live here. Yeah. Guy who visits. I have a company. I go on 95 all the fucking time. I live here. I get in a Corvette. I hit 95. 20 minutes, I'm in Center City. Whoa, I take the bus. It's 30 minutes. The bus, bro.
I don't know, man.
Starscream bus.
I get on 95 a few times this year. I get on and I'm heading down to see my kids or whatever, hopping over to Walt Whitman Bridge. I get down to about Bridge Street. it's 16 miles of traffic. So what I do now is I have a habit of, I call for a pizza. And I have it delivered to mile marker, whatever. And a little dude will come up on the on-ramp as we're all sitting there parked, sleeping, doing whatever. And I have my pizza inside the car.
So you're lying, by the way.
It's just the way it is. You're 95.
You're a liar.
Everybody drives on that road. No, that road's...
You don't know.
What do you mean?
I live here.
$60 billion on that road. It's still fucked up. I don't get it.
You know what the best part is? Check this out. The initial thing was a five-year run, okay? They started when my company started. This is our 12th year in business. They're nowhere near done. Like, nowhere near. They're like, no, we're good. 5 years. It was 5 years. We're seven over, and we're not even anywhere near close.
95, 95. That was the plan.
Well, they expanded it. It's wider.
That's okay.
Do you remember when they were going to widen Byberry, and they bought those houses up, and they were going to do that whole thing?
And all the people out west got agitated, got a lawyer, and cancel that whole deal.
They still need to do it, though.
They still need to do
it. And now they're building on Byberry. Do you see the new construction on Byberry? That's ridiculous. I can't even go to that fucking road.
It's terrible. I feel bad for my mom. She's lived on Southampton Road. I'm 53. She's been on there for 50 years. We used to play stickball on the street, Southampton Road. I'm not
fucking anymore, man.
Her thing is she's paying high taxes, and she cannot get out of her driveway to get down Southampton Road. I'm anywhere from 2:30 to 6:30 at night. It is a parking lot.
It's only that 4 hours, though.
I mean, but you're paying taxes. I think you should just put like an elevated system between, if you're not going to do it on Woodhaven Road, do it somewhere so these people can get out of their houses.
And they're building more. So as you go along Byberry, they're building properties right on, who the fuck would live there? Who would buy that fucking house?
Here's an example. Top of Southampton Road, Worthington Road, if y'all know the area. There's a stop sign there on the left-hand side. It was a little old greenhouse, old lady owned. The builder bought the house. She passed away. He bought the house off the kids. They knocked it down. And that, just for that one house, they put three townhouses in. Three little homes, whatever they are. Well, now, if you go past there, there's so many cars parked just in those three houses. They're lined up on Southampton Road at nighttime.
Yep.
So that's just what's going on around here, man. But, hey, it's your stuff, buddy. You got horse and buggies out by me. Come on out.
Nah, when I leave, I'm going to the fucking beach. Where the fuck I land is going
to
be a beach.
I'm not saying to move out. I'm saying I'm going to have a party.
You, number one, that never fucking happens.
It will happen now because the pool got fixed.
It never fucking happens.
The pool got fixed. It's up and running thanks to Tom Moyer. We got salt water and ground pool now. It's fixed.
That's pretty awesome.
He just put a $28,000 roof on the house too, which my folks are responsible for. So I wanted to get the house together before I have everybody up. I've had a few people up. Mr. Rick Rubinson was up with me.
I saw that.
Yeah, Brody, man. That might have been, if Lifted, not my favorite band ever, playing LBC, Adam Kramer again, thank you, the Brody Veloz band there was epic. Those shows were fun as fuck, dude. Like, it was packed, it was crazy, it was all night long. They're the memories that I love to have, man. Certain bands have certain memories, you know what I'm saying? I don't think Superstar Art Thing, which was a side project, we had fun for the short time we were jamming, man. We had some... Emery Street brings back. I got a picture of the kid, me, you, and Paulie standing outside of Emery Street. I don't know if I took the picture. Maybe you did. It's just the four of us standing.
I remember that picture.
I had a beer in my hand. I'm talking to Vinny. That picture was epic. That was just one of those things from Superstar. That was epic. You know what I mean? But the Connie's Rickrack show. I know you used to yell at Vinny about running out.
Oh, I hated it.
Soloed.
I hated it.
That was hilarious. Me and Paulie are back there jamming. And there goes the kid. And then Paulie looks over and he's like, Bex is going to be pissed. Vinny would go out, he'd grab a cheesesteak, he's playing a solo, he's eating his cheesesteak at the same time. 15 minutes later, come back on stage, and then we go back into the song, right?
Hated it.
Totally epic, Vinny. Totally epic. I loved it, man. Wirelesses are the shit, man.
They're closed. They fucking didn't make it through the pandemic. They closed.
Yeah. That place was good, but I don't know. I guess if you live down there, you're okay.
Parking was atrocious. I parked the bus down there, though. I don't want to hear it.
I was very impressed.
The bus, baby.
You didn't have to push any cars out of your way.
No, no. You know what I mean? I know how to park, man.
Yeah, that was a good show. It was funny. I never played there. I was glad to play that show. I played pretty much everywhere else, man.
All right, you have to what's your summation for the podcast? What words do you want to leave with? Because it's over.
I appreciate everybody. All you guys, all the bands, all our friends, and the stuff we do. I've lived a good life, man. I've had a lot of fun, man, doing this with everybody, from the 80s, from Face Crime and Altercation and Nemesis, Kyra Wells. I don't know if you'll see this, but all my tattoos. All these bands is just something that I do, that I love doing with my friends. That's what we do, and I'm just happy to be here. Especially you, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 142 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Mr. Maz, thank you for your time.
Anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. That's it, buddy. We're done. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.